Hi, welcome to Nergasm. Today is a special episode. We have a interview with Neil Sales Griffin. So before we get into that, just our reminders that if you want to give donations, either donate your Twitter account at donateyouraccount.com/NergasmNoir, or you can donate money by making use of our donate a button on our site, nergasmnoir.net. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, or Google+. If you like the show, make sure to share the show with your friends, and you can always download our show on iTunes or subscribe to our RSS feed, and we are also on Stitcher. And if you like to leave a voicemail, you can leave at this number, 312-574 0591. So we can get started with the show. Woo! So once again, introduce our guest, Neil Sayers Griffin. He is the CEO of Starter League. And I just want to say I'm so glad that you came to join with us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk. So
Cool.
let's do this.
Yeah. So I guess we could just go straight into the questions. So I don't, I guess I'll ask the first questions. Maria, I guess we could just go back and forth with the questions. So I guess the first thing is, usually when people talk about their dream careers, there's always a aha moment. Did that happen for you?
Aha moment. Maybe it was kind of an aha moment. I don't know the exact moment where it happened, but it was definitely a time where I realized that what I wanted to do in life wasn't just make a lot of money. It was to do meaningful work and to help people and to solve problems and help make a dent in the universe and change the world. And that's really what I wanted my life to be about. And once I made that choice to like go about life pursuing that, everything kind of clicked. And all of a sudden, everything in the world became an opportunity, not a problem. It became something not to get annoyed by, but to see some way of actually improving or creating something new, to kind of derive inspiration from. So that was really my aha kind of series of moments, if you will.
So when did you realize that tech was the ideal avenue to kind of use it to help people?
Well, when I started thinking of problems to solve, every time I started to have a brainstorm about what a potential solution could be, more often than not, something related to technology or software would come up. And that's just how my mind worked. Those are just the things that I would dream up. And once I had those ideas, I kept going, okay, well, how do I do it? How do I do it? And every time it was something related to tech. And ultimately, I just realized that, hey, I really need to get my chops up here so I can start being more creative and actually prototype some of my ideas.
Right. So how difficult was it to make the transition from venture capitalist to tech entrepreneur?
I did some entrepreneurship before. Then when I did venture capital, I learned a little more about the software side. And then I just kind of brushed off some programming books. And I read a bunch of stuff and I just kind of stumbled in. I just met people and learned about it and just kept, studying and staying engaged. And eventually I, wound up just being immersed in it. So it was really just my own persistence that created that.
Oh, cool. I guess the next thing I kind of want to ask you about was the months leading up to you founding the Starter League. Was there ever a point in time where you doubted yourself?
Sure. Like you have moments where you're nervous or you have fear, but there was never a moment where I was doubting the reason behind doing this. Like I'd never questioned my motivations. I never questioned my resolve. The only thing that was in question was, are other people actually going to understand what I'm trying to do? And are other people actually going to believe in us enough to actually sign up for this? That was the part of confidence that, created a lot of fear.
So, how did you get those others on board with the Starter League?
I just waged a campaign with me and Mike, my co-founder. We just waged a campaign, and that was it. I mean, I didn't have to do any persuasion. It was just like, here's what I'm trying to do. Are you in or are you out? This is what it is.
So how difficult was it to get funding? Was it always a one-step process or?
I mean, we didn't get funding. We just started the school. I didn't
Okay.
have any money. I just told people, hey, this is how much it costs, and you can sign up. And then people signed up and paid us, and then we had money. That's how it works.
That sounds a lot easier than fundraising events.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens when you actually have something that people want, and then they'll pay you for it.
What was your first memorable experience with technology?
My first memorable experience with technology was definitely video games. I played Atari and Nintendo, and most notably on Nintendo, I played Legend of Zelda, and that game was amazing, and it opened my whole world up as to what was possible and how much fun I could have with something.
Yeah, I think a lot of I know my first experience was with Atari. I think that was my first video game system ever. And I still remember playing the games on there and, how amazed I was that I could just sit down and just press buttons and you have this whole entertainment, right there in front of you. And you know that there's someone out there who worked hard to do this, and it's kind of amazing when you think about it. Was you exposed to a lot of technology growing up?
No, not a lot. I would say, I had a few things, like we had like an old computer or something at some point, but as far as like being exposed to a lot of technology, not really. I would play with it, I would consume it, but I never had a chance to really wield it, to tinker, to like work on little projects or programs. And you learn that a lot of people in this field, the way that they got into it, the way that they became great programmers or technologists is, somebody gave them a way to actually, dig in and experiment. And that room for experimentation is something that I think is great for, early childhood development, when it comes to these types of thinking, this type of thinking and these skills. But yeah, I didn't really have that. So
What has been the high point of your adventure so far?
the highlight of our venture, let's see. I mean, I'm always about what's current, like what's happening now. Like the past is the past. We can learn from history, but it's about the now and the future. So right now, my highlight is Starter School, which is our new project. We have 3 month classes now that we've been running for 2 years. We've got a 9 month program that's launching on Monday that I'm so excited about. I can't even contain it. It's going to be great. And we're going to teach a small group of people how to build software and how to ship products and start companies. And
Wow.
it's going to be amazing, and I'm going to make sure that every day and every minute of the program is going to be awesome for every single one of those students.
Wow, that's amazing. It's pretty much a circle, just starting with learning how to build software and then.
They get to create the software they want to
Right.
see. So, what made you stay in Chicago instead of taking the Starter League elsewhere?
Because I love Chicago. I was born here, I was raised here, and there's a lot of like opportunity here, and I love communities that have opportunity, that have a culture that hasn't completely, been hardened yet, and it's malleable, it's evolving and changing, and it's also just I'm a big fan of quality over quantity. So, you don't want Harvard to scale and be in every city because all of a sudden Harvard becomes less interesting, it becomes less unique, and it becomes more ubiquitous. So it's a place where if you get in, you don't go, oh, can I just go online? Can I just not actually go to school at Harvard? Can I just pull it up on my computer and attend for free? There's just no comparison to the quality of having an immersive experience.
Can you talk a little bit about the collaboration between TSL, the city, and the local colleges? How are you working together, and what's the end goal?
Right, so we we're just training Chicago public school teachers and City College teachers with our curriculum. We just did a training program this summer, and we're going to be supporting them throughout the school year with their work as well.
Okay. So what have been some of the takeaways that you got from this experience?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Oh, I'm sorry. What have been the takeaways from this experience?
Some of the takeaways, I think, are that, you know, teaching teachers is hard. They're not all created equal when it comes to just, like, their needs. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's going to be a long road to actually figure this out at a systemic level.
Who are some of the up-and-comers we need to watch out for?
As far as newcomers, newcomers like schools?
Either schools or maybe new software or tech companies or developers, something along those lines.
Yeah, I would check out Jimmy Odom and We Deliver. I think that guy's going to crush it.
Will do. So you heard that here first, people. So at the Blurology event, you mentioned about the importance of mentoring. How has it impacted you in your past and now?
Yeah, mentoring's been huge. It's huge. The people that have helped me all along the way have been insanely influential, and I wouldn't be here today and doing the work that I'm doing without them. So I think mentors are crucial to any entrepreneur that wants to be successful.
So have you used any mentoring programs, or have it's
nope,
just...
it's all organic.
All organic, okay.
It's all pure.
What's the best piece of advice you received?
The best piece of advice I've received, let's see. I would say, I think it's just the general sentiment that I've gotten from most of my mentors at the end of the day is go with your gut. So mm-hmm. I think that's just a redundant piece of advice that's been recurring throughout every decision I've had to make.
Okay. So what wisdom would you impart to others who want to take the same path?
Yeah, I have three main things that I tell people. Trust yourself, decide quickly, and don't quit. That's it. That's the solution to figuring out whether you want to start a company or not, whether you can do those three things.
All right. That sounds like pretty good advice. So at this time, we're going to do some lighter questions.
Sure.
Just some fun stuff to ask.
Some nerdy questions.
I don't know, Maria, you want to start off with the first question?
So the first question, Batman or Superman?
Batman, no question.
We never get a lot of
That's
Superman.
That's not even a question. That's just an answer. Batman or Superman means Batman.
Yeah, we never get a lot of people that answer Superman. So.
Yeah, because Batman's a boss even though he doesn't have any superpowers.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars. I just never really got into Star Trek. I was too young, I guess.
What appeals to you about Star Wars?
It's like the concept of the Force mm-hmm. is something I think is an amazing metaphor for life.
Okay. So the movie Daredevil, should we ever acknowledge it happened?
My answer is no. We should act like it didn't happen. Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner were never in that. And yeah. Colin Farrell, I'm not surprised.
How do you feel about Ben Affleck being the next Batman?
I think it's cool. I think he's going to kick ass. I think it'll be fine.
Okay. I have my doubts about it, but if he has learned from his Daredevil movie days, then I'm all for it. So.
I think Affleck's a great actor. He's mm-hmm. an even better director. He's been in some great films, and he's going to take it seriously. Right. I think we should be more nervous about the writer and director than the actor himself.
Yeah, because the writing for Daredevil was kind of so. But I think, you know, if they try to get Affleck to direct, that would be interesting. You
know? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. What's your favorite series, whether it's TV or some people watch anime or cartoons? So.
Dragon Ball Z.
Oh my God.
Best show of all time.
Dragon Ball Z is awesome.
Yep.
See, you get to stay on the show forever now. You can come back whenever you want.
Thank you.
Let's see. What else? Oh, if you could have one superpower, what would it be?
One superpower. I would just want to read minds.
Oh, okay. Cool. So, why did you pick mind reading?
Seems easy. Then I wouldn't have to worry about anything, what people think. I would just be a creepy. I've been watching too much Sherlock lately, I think.
But the only thing with mind reading is, would you be able to control it? Or would you just be hearing everyone's thoughts all the time?
No, I would totally be able to control it.
Do you have any special talents that we don't know about?
I mean, I'm really good at video games.
Really, really good.
Yeah, that's my special talent, that I'm really good at video games.
What's your
Really.
favorite kind of video game?
Role-playing games.
Okay.
It's hard to like really impress people with your skill in that kind of game, but that's my favorite.
Okay, what's your favorite role-playing game so far?
Final Fantasy VII.
Oh,
Forever.
it's a classic.
Yeah, that's a classic, so.
Is there anything newer you like that came out?
Mass Effect, the trilogy.
Okay, I could, yeah.
I heard you talk about Sherlock in the BBC series.
Yep. My girlfriend has forced me to watch it. I was totally reluctant to do it, and then she made me do it. So
Well, sounds like she's got good taste. You should keep
she
her.
does have good taste. She is a keeper. She just, I am but a peasant compared to her standards.
So let's say you had a choice between a physical book or reading a ebook, which
It
would you
depends
choose?
on the book. And I think Hannibal Buress made a really good joke about this. If it's a book that I don't want anyone else to know I'm reading, ebook. If I want to show off or I want to make a social statement, I'll have a physical book to show off,
Yeah, you don't quite get the same reactions if you do,
Yeah, I think the joke was he said that there was a book he wanted to read called OJ Didn't Do It and I Can Prove It. He said, that's definitely a download.
Yeah, I don't know how much that would go down well if a person of color carrying that book on the subway.
That wouldn't be a good experience for anybody.
Jen, you guys read 50 Shades of Grey for a
Oh,
challenge.
that was an ebook.
That was an ebook.
I ebook. Yeah, it was no way I was walking around with a actual 50 Shades book. No. It was not happening. Do you read graphic novels?
Not really. I don't read a lot of graphic novels. I've been meaning to get into it, but I've got so many other things to read and do these days. I'm gonna wait until I'm retired.
I can only imagine how busy you are these days.
Yeah.
What's the last like nerd movie you saw?
Oh, what is a nerd movie? Nerd movie. What nerd movie have I watched? Does Earth Girls Are Easy count as a nerd movie?
I freaking love that movie. It's so silly.
Yes, that's a classic. Nerds watch that movie, so yes.
Well, if that counts, I last saw Howard the Duck. So.
Yeah, that counts. That
That
counts.
counts. Okay.
Trying to think if do you have any more questions, Maria?
I know you guys have experienced so much growth since you started. What's it been like handling that?
It's fine. Growth is a gift and a curse. I've been reluctant to grow too much or too fast, because growing means you're bigger, but you move slower, And I like being nimble, agile. So I'm working on kind of reversing that a bit with our new initiative and strategy.
So, do you have any intention to having it in another city? So, maybe multiple locations?
Nope, not multiple locations. like the point I made before. We're interested in being Harvard, not McDonald's.
Okay, cool. Actually, another question. I know you concentrate so far. I know one of the main programs, languages you concentrate on in Star League is Ruby. So what other, well, I guess you could tell us a little bit more about Star League and what kind of programming languages is concentrate on, or what aspects of technology it kind of focus on.
Yeah, it's Ruby on Rails, HTML, CSS, JavaScript, user experience design, and visual design. Those are the classes we teach now. In addition to that, we're adding in product development, entrepreneurship, and everything related to shipping actual software company.
Have you thought of expanding it to other markets, like, you know, maybe Atlanta?
No. Honestly, we're dead set on Chicago, and we've attracted people from all over the world to fly in here and relocate. So
I guess, you know, I got to go to Chicago.
Yeah, you got to come to Chicago to go through the program.
I guess this is kind of another type of question, going back to mentorship. So within the program, because I know you mentioned mentorship is very important. Is there an aspect of mentorship integrated into the program?
Yeah, we do have mentorship integrated into the program. So our students get mentors. We have designated mentors for our students from the very beginning. So that's something that's a part of the package.
I feel like this is kind of like an all-in-one encompassing program. You pretty much are a one-stop shop for all parts of experience in trying to learn software and development. And I commend you on creating Starter League, because it's I know I went to college for computer science, and going through that, it was very hard to kind of get all of the type of knowledge that you needed. Because I know in my experience, it kind of felt more of, okay, you need to learn this particular way to program. It was never a focus on trying to create, turn it into a business or turn it into something more than you being a coder for someone else.
Right. And that's so boring to me. I'm not impressed by that at all. And nothing against your education, but like the way that people go about teaching folks is just to prepare them to be like, you know, a drone, mm-hmm. you know, worker bee.
To work for someone else.
Yeah. And it's just so uninteresting to me. I think that it's, I guess it's necessary, but that's just not how I want to live. And the people I want to work with and teach and learn from are not people that are just going to settle for, like, you know, a stagnant career, just doing a job because you're told to, and you're living outside of your work because you hate your job. Like, that's just the worst way to live. And I don't mm-hmm. want to have to live that way.
So it's the equivalent of teaching people to fish.
Exactly.
I don't have any more questions. Maria, do you have any more questions?
No, I don't have any more for today.
Okay, so I just want to kind of end it. So Neil, if you can kind of tell, kind of mention like either how people can look for the Starter League or how they can reach the Starter League.
Sure, sure. You can find the Starter League just by going to starterleague.com, and you'll see all of our classes, our offerings. You can also check out starterschool.com for our new 9-month program. And I'm easy to find as well. I'm at Neil Salles, S-A-L-E-S, on Twitter. So.
Oh, thank you so much for taking the time to come and talk to us. I think what you're doing is really great, and I feel like you are ushering a new wave of just venture capitalists out there with a new way of thinking about software and development, and I just want to commend you for that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys having me on the call, and look forward to everything that happened in the future.
I mean, not only is the whole program inspiring, but the fact that people can go in and finally produce what it is they've had in their minds with just, you know, some education.
Yeah, it's powerful stuff.
So thanks once again for coming to talk to us, and I wish you a good night.
All right. Good night, y'all. Have a good time.
All right. Thank you.